So I'm going to talk to you real quick about documentation. That's, of course, like the most riveting topic anyone's ever spoke to you on, I'm sure. So try not to fall asleep. I wanted to touch a little bit. Oh, these are my outcomes. BOC makes me put these up there. So these are the things that you probably already can do, I would hope, if you completed an education program at some point. I have no financial disclosures. I'm an athletic trainer. I make like $0, I'm pretty sure. I have 3 children. So I make negative money. Every day I go home and there's less money in my wallet, and I don't understand how that works. All right, so we're gonna talk really quick. Everybody, undergrad, master's, let me see, what'd you guys do? Raise your hand if you finished an undergrad program. Awesome. How many of you guys finished a master's program for athletic training? Great, for athletic training. Nice, 3, 4, awesome. Okay. We learned this, right? This is a thing we do. Everybody, nod your head, yes. Everybody knows what it means, right? We write SOAP notes. That, in my brain, when I think, what's documentation? I think SOAP note, right? Yes, nod. Or no, does anybody not think this when they think documentation? Okay, great. So, just so we're clear, we're gonna talk a little bit about SOAP notes, but we're gonna talk about how terrible we as athletic trainers are at documenting. And I'm saying we because I am too. I write SOAP-ish notes. Like, they're not straight up SOAP notes. They're not. I don't have time for that. I'm so busy. I realize I'm in education now, but I was a high school athletic trainer. I left the high school in 2016. I had 1,700 athletes for me and an assistant athletic trainer. That's it. You know how many SOAP notes I wrote in a day after seeing that many? You know what, let's not call them athletes, they're participants, okay? They're not athletes. I think I wrote like 2 because all I wanted to do was leave. Sometimes I would leave like literally screaming at somebody, something, my own children, their children, somebody's children were getting yelled at, and no SOAP notes got written that day, 0. We're so busy at the high school setting. It's ridiculous. I feel your pain. I had to leave. Those of you who are still there, props to you. You guys are amazing and way stronger than me. We don't have enough time to document. We just don't. But we have to. You have to write something down at some point. And I realize that we don't remember everything that happens. But the sooner you can write it down, the better chance you have of remembering. We're going to hit on that in a little bit. This is what my SOAP notes, if I write them, look like. Is this what other people's SOAP notes look like? Anybody? Smile, nod. Is this basic? Raise your hand if this is, you know what, that's pretty good. I got that down on a piece of paper today, and I'm so proud of myself. Anybody? Yes, no, yes. This is what I was taught. This is what I was taught in undergrad. Is this what most of y'all were taught in undergrad? Yeah. That, to me, I'm like, I would have passed my documentation class for sure with that. for sure, right? So unfortunately, since I started undergrad 19 years ago, we have moved way past this. We meaning the healthcare profession. Unfortunately, we as athletic trainers haven't really moved past this. I teach a master's program now, and I realized that I literally taught this last semester, and I was so wrong. This is so bare minimum. We've moved on to a lot of EMRs, which we'll hit on in a second, electronic medical records. And we actually, at our institution, we bill out of our athletic department, our athletic training department bills. And we don't get reimbursed if we write this. I realize you guys are high school, most of you are high school athletic trainers. I realize you guys don't bill out, but unfortunately, this also is not great for court. One of our head athletic trainer got called in and deposed in February from his last 2 colleges ago. He was in Missouri, a kid died. Not athletically related, it was a diabetes thing, he died in the dorms, but he rendered aid. His SOAP note, this is all he had from an ankle sprain on the kid, and back to Bubba's, diabetes wasn't even listed on his medical record. And so when Adam, that's our head athletic trainer, when he got deposed, the school told him, hey, you can, here's access to all your medical records that you did while you were here, so you can read up on that kid. He wrote down everything that happened that day, literally on a piece of paper, like on a napkin from Starbucks. They took a screenshot of it. They uploaded it into the athletic training, like, filing system that they had back then. And that was it. That was the only thing he had to go off of and had to go. That's not good at a Christian school. That's the wrath. That's all he had to go off of. And he had to jog his memory from literally a napkin of what he did, when he responded to the kid. The moral of that story is you have to document, and you have to document so well. And when you get deposed, and I say that when, unfortunately, as athletic trainers, we're getting called more and more into court. And these are legal documents. These, even though they're HIPAA and FERPA protected, they can be called into court. So if you're writing this down, just like this, and I realize this is just an ankle sprain, but for a kid that loses his eligibility, has a catastrophic, has 2 years of eligibility left, can't play anymore, and so the family's suing for what they think they lost because he was going to be a first-round draft pick, because didn't you know everybody's a first-round draft pick? And this is all you have, you're going to be in some trouble. So we're going to talk about how to document a little bit better. So I'm going to hit two main parts of this. Our SOAP, which is our subjective, obviously, as we all know, what the patient tells us, right? We could expand this more. I realize this should be really common to you. They come into the athletic training facility, their right ankle hurts, they rolled it at practice, there's no previous history. That's fairly decent in my brain. The insurance company says that's crap, and that's not a medical history at all. That's not what you should have there, and your observation is even worse. And I was like, cool, I can't wait to never get reimbursed. So I've spent some time in our clinic in town trying to learn how to do documentation better, because they obviously bill out all the time, they get reimbursed. And this is an acronym. How many of you guys have heard of this acronym? Great, proud of you, Sean. Sean and the doctor in the back have heard of this. Don't worry, I didn't know about it either. So this is a great acronym. You should write this down. If you were my students, I'd be like, you should write this down because it's on the test. When you are talking to a kid about their injury, this is what you should ask them. Onset, when did it happen? Okay, if they fell down and broke their leg, obviously we all know the onset, right? But how many times is it, well, it started like, I don't know, like over break, but then it went away for a little bit, and then it kind of hurt like last week, but I don't know. How many of you guys get that when you talk to student athletes? You want to wring their neck, right? Because it's not much better now. And now I have 3 children, and that drives me even more crazy. We want to know, when was the first time it ever hurt? It hurt in March for like a week, but then it went away. Then it came back in May when I was water skiing. Like, all of that needs to be written down, even if you don't think it actually contributes to the current injury. We need to know that. Location, where's the pain? It's kind of here-ish, but sometimes it's down here, it's here. Okay, that's not it. One finger, point to it, then describe it. Like, you have to actually say, medial side of the right knee, 3 inches above the pes anterine. Like, describe where that location is. The duration, how long has it been hurting? Again, this isn't new news to anybody. How long has it been hurting? But also, how long has it been impairing your function? Insurance companies love to know about impairing the function. And you actually have to, and we'll get to this slide, you have to prove, in order to get reimbursed, you have to prove that they have a loss of function and that you have to then bridge the gap from where they were to where they are now and write a plan to get them from here back to here. And then you have to write your steps in there and all these fun things. And then they want you to tell how long it's been here and how long it's going to take to get to here. So duration is an important one. Character. This isn't character of the student. If it was, I would just write zero for a lot of them. This is the character of the pain. Is it numb? Is it cold? Is it sharp? Is it shooting? Is it jabbing you? Is it zinging? Is it all the things you can think of. This is the character. These two are something that, as athletic, when I was at the high school, I never asked these, and I should have. What aggravates your pain? What makes it worse? And I'm not just, I care about sports. I care about, well, when I'm running on the soccer field, it hurts more. Okay, that's cool. But what else aggravates it? Do you have stairs at your house? Does it hurt to walk up the stairs? Like, what else aggravates your pain? And sometimes you have to prompt them a little bit because they don't tell you things. They're not very forthcoming, which I know is not shocking to any of you. And then, more importantly, what relieves the pain? When does the pain go away? If it goes away completely when they're sitting down, that's awesome. Great. We need to document that. Does it go away when they stand still? Okay. And sometimes you have to ask them that. Well, when does it go away? What makes it the best to go away? T, temporal. This one I had a little bit of trouble wrapping my head around at first, but because people, especially freshmen, don't know what these three words mean. You all know what these three words mean, but we need to figure out where that pain is. Is it specific to there? Is it referred pain? Does their shoulder hurt because they got hit in the abdomen last week and we have a very slow bleed? Is it radiating? Is it radiating down the back of their legs? Is this sciatic pain? Is it radiating down? Or is it neuropathy? Is it just loss of the feeling there in the spot? And how can we tell the difference in all those? So that also needs to be documented. And why? You don't just write temporal, it's neuropathy. Why did you come to the conclusion that it is neuropathy? Why did you get there? Define it. Even though you're basically defining neuropathy, you still need to write it. And then finally, severity. This is an easy one. Everybody just thinks, oh yes, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does your foot hurt? Well, it's for sure a 9. Well, you just walked in here. Yeah, it's for sure a 9. I totally can't play today. Yeah, I saw you in the lunchroom and you were like skipping to get the brownies. Yeah, it's for sure a 9. Oh my God, I can't handle you today. I just can't. Right? This is a thing for everybody, right? So even though they might rank it a 9, you have to write that down because they told you that. Then I usually ask, well, how does it affect your activities of daily living? How the pain is so bad that you can't do this. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, well, I can't put my cleat on very well, but I'll get it on eventually. Then it is not a 9, but that's fine. They think it's a 9. So old carts. Learn it, use it, put it in your SOAP notes. Your SOAP notes are going to be bigger, but they'll be better. This was going to be the main part of my talk, but I think I'm probably going to just skip most of it. I'm going to go through the next, like, 8 slides. This is all the things that insurance companies look for before they will reimburse us for services, which is insane. There are so many things on here. Some of them you're like, wow, okay. Obviously the medical history, and this one is crazy. If you're ever, when we ask medical histories, especially in the high school setting, we know these kids, right? You usually end up knowing them. But in other settings, like the clinical setting, I was in on Tuesday, spent a couple of hours with our PA, and he's got two athletic trainers as physician extenders, because, you know, we're not supposed to just call them physician extenders anymore. We've got two of those, so I spent some time with them, and I went into about, I would say, 10 patient rooms in the course of 3 hours, just kind of shadowing, and they ask a medical history every time, even if that person was just here last week. They go, they review their chart, they say, okay, well, your medical history says da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, is that still the same? Yes. Okay, great. And then they make a point to ask, and I realize this is a clinical setting and it's not a high school, but they make a point to ask, diabetes? So I went into 10 rooms, three of them go, oh yeah, yeah, got diabetes. Oh, it's not on your chart. Did you conveniently forget you had diabetes, like when you walked in today? And then because that plays such a big role in what we deal with a lot in the clinical setting, like in our town specifically, because that obviously if they've got neuropathy in your feet and we think you have a lumbar spine issue going on, but then we find out you have diabetes, that would explain why your $3,000 MRI was clean, right? So medical history is really important. All these other things are also very important, but they want to see a really, really thorough medical history. What they do in society, obviously, a lot of us are their students, their student athletes, but do they also have another job? Because that should be written down also. What if they work after school? What if they bale hay? Is that a thing here? It is in West Texas where I live. Like, they go out and they run machines and bale hay, and they got to be able to move. Medications are listed. Obviously, a lot of this is self-explanatory, but they look for all these. They literally have check boxes. They've sent things back to me and said, well, you didn't list this, you didn't list this, you didn't list this. I'm like, wow, I'm terrible at this. So now we run through these check boxes and make sure that we fill them all out before we submit. Patient goals are listed. And there's a whole goal sheet in here somewhere. They want to see this for goals. And this is something that I think all of us can do better, even in clinical settings, in our college setting, in high school settings. I never did this. I never wrote down the goals. And that's a big deal because the insurance companies reimburse based on meeting the goals. So the problem is a lot of high school kids will say, what's my goal? Well, I want to play football again. Okay, cool. We need measurable goals. Like, we need, that's our main big goal, but we need little goals in between that we can meet and show you're actually getting better, especially if you're in a long-term rehab. But we need to make sure that we're setting these goals and we're talking about them and we're writing them down. And then that we're meeting them, but we're also revisiting them often. Communication, and this is another thing I never did. I would talk to parents all the time. I talked to so many parents that I left my job. I swear, it's not always the kids, right? I have more issues with the parents than the kids. They're what wore me out. And now I am one. But I never wrote down that I talked to the parents. I never said, oh yeah, or I might just say called mom 9:15 a.m. But then I never wrote down what mom and I talked about, like extensively. You could say, called mom 9:15 a.m., told her about son's broken ankle, period, the end. That doesn't work. Like, whatever you did, your patient education for the child or the student or the minor, you probably told the same thing to the parent, right? Then write it down that you told the parent this and this and this and this, and you expected this and this from the parent. Write it down. And then the other thing that we're actually really bad at still is discharge. When they're done, we just like close out their injury, right? Just close the injury and we're done, right? You actually are supposed to write a discharge note to say, I am closing this injury because the patient has completed 17 sets of rehab and these are the exercises that got us to get to this point. We met these three goals. Here was what, when they left, they did this full, you do another evaluation and here's the SOAP note on that evaluation. That's part of their discharge. And then these are some kind of just housekeeping things at the bottom. Okay. I got like 10 minutes left, so we're good. What needs to be documented and what doesn't? What do you guys think? What? Everything. So Jimmy comes in to the training room because he's going home for the day. He comes in because he needs an ice bag, but he doesn't need ice in his ice bag. He needs the ice bag because his shoes are muddy and he wants to put his shoes in the ice bag to take them home. Do I need to document that? No, I don't. Not in a medical record. But when that happens to 40 kids on the soccer team, 3 times a week for 12 weeks, and all of a sudden I'm out a roll of ice bags, and I realize I'm talking about a whole roll of ice bags. That, how much does a roll of ice bags cost? What?
$60
for a roll of ice bags. But I only ordered like 8 rolls for the year, and now I need to go, and I don't know about y'all's budget, but my budget was like negative $5 for the whole school year, and now I gotta go buy another roll of ice bags. So all of a sudden, I don't document that they took all these, but if I did, then I could justify to my AD why I need another $100 in my budget to buy more ice bags, right? Or I can call Bubba and hope Memorial Hermann just brings me some. There's that. So not everything needs to be documented, but we document, you can document for budget justification different than medical justification, right? So keep that in mind, because if you're on a really tight budget like I was, then I needed to be able to say, hey, I didn't use ice bags on injuries all the time. We used them for other things. We used to put our feet in them inside our shoes during rainy games so our feet weren't wet. I mean, but I needed more ice bags. How many of you guys have a sign-in sheet? Okay, keep your hands up. If you have a sign-in sheet, keep your hands up. Keep your hand up if it is a piece of paper they literally put their name on. Good. We're getting there. Woo. Okay. So, those are all great, but they're a HIPAA violation. One could argue it's a FERPA violation too, but I'm more worried about HIPAA right now. So, how many of you guys use a Google form for a sign-in? Great. How many of you guys have a sign-in that is with your EMS? Like, how many of you guys like use, Rank One, thank you. And then you got, man, they have taken over. It's only been a few years. Yeah, Starbucks is closed this morning, PS, so if I'm a little off, I haven't had any coffee and I'm really kind of shaking. So Rank One has that great sign-in. Right? And that's awesome to use. For those of you not on a Rank One, not on a Rank One budget, can I click this link?
Maybe.
Is this actually a computer? This looks really bad. I'm just not going to touch it. So there's a way to make a Google form. It takes 5 minutes. It autofills a spreadsheet for you, and you are documented like literally for the year. I made this in about 3 minutes. How many of you guys know how to use Google Forms? Wow, you guys are great. Is it because you work with teenagers? Did they teach you? This Google Form, what? So this can be your sign-in. How many of you guys have something like this? Those that said they use a Google Form, whose looks similar to this? How easy is it to then, on your end, click the spreadsheet and all of a sudden you had 75 kids check in? And you know what's really fun is they think it's fun. Oh, I get to sign in. Like, and it's really fun if you leave blanks and they have to type their own thing because it's never spelled right. And it's amazing. Additional information is fun. It's really fun what you get on that. So this will, making this as your check-in is better than a piece of paper, because once they hit send, no one else can see it, right? It comes to your computer, which that's okay because you're HIPAA trained and you know all the rules and laws and it's under lock and key and nobody has any keys to your office, I know it. So a Google form is a great alternative to those paper forms. I don't know if it's because we're not in a huge metroplex out there in West Texas, but our three high schools that we use as clinical sites, all three of them had paper sign-in forms at the beginning of the school year, which we're seeking, our master's program is seeking accreditation right now. And so Katie's coming to visit, which is really fun for those of you who know anything about Katie. And they did not like that that was going on, that there was a paper sign-in form. So we've had to change those high schools over to Google Forms. And then, I know some of you guys kind of have a budget issue, we had to buy them a computer to be able to sign in on it because they didn't have enough funds to get a computer, even though all they needed to do was access that Google Form. But I strongly encourage going to that, to a Google Form, because it's not a HIPAA violation, but also, at the end of the day, when you have all your free time, you can go back and it helps your memory. It helps jog your memory to know, oh yeah, that's right, Lacey came in with that ankle sprain, I did that eval, let me now do a soap note with all those other things that Melissa told me I needed to write down.